Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Did you get that? All good? Well, I think I'm going to need a little bit more response. I'm going to have to do like a Mexican wave or something like that. I think, did you get that?
Yeah.
Are we all good?
Yeah.
Pastor Byron and I are so excited, and he's not standing there for no reason, okay? to share the vision that God has placed on our hearts with you this morning. Vision offering is always such an incredible time. Vision Sunday is always such an incredible time in the life of our church. When everybody's back from holiday, everybody's rested, and we're ready as a church to launch into this new season. And so we're so excited to share what God has placed on our hearts. You know, we believe that God is a progressive God. He's a good God. And each year he builds on what happened in the life of our church, which was amazing last year. But he builds on that, and we move from strength to strength. And so we are trusting for the best for our church, but we're obviously trusting for the best for each and every one of you. Because our God is good, because he is progressive, he has wonderful and great plans for each and every one of us. And so we are excited and expectant. As a church, you will know that our purpose, and that the purpose that God has placed on our hearts, is that we are a church that is always helping people move towards Jesus. And if you don't know that yet, you'll come to know that that is the biggest desire. Our mandate, we believe, Pastor Brian and I, is that God has called Thrive Church to be a church that helps people move towards Jesus. And so as we journey, we realize it's a journey, right? It's not a one day we are not a Christ follower, and the next day we become a Christ follower, and then all of a sudden we look like Jesus. That's not how it is. We understand that it's a journey, it's a spiritual daily journey, and it has some of the most majestic views of our incredible God, right? It has a couple of potholes filled with our sin. It has many other travelers. Look around you on the same spiritual journey, might be in a different place, but on the same journey. It has some much needed patkos, you know, which is the word of God. It's food. And it has a whole lot of water. And that is the living water of Jesus on the journey that we travel. And it's never a final destination. Our spirituality is never a final destination until one day we meet our Savior face to face in heaven. That's when we arrive at the end of our spiritual journey with Christ. But we know we're on a destination, a spiritual journey. But this spiritual journey, it has a couple of markers. And I want to talk through those markers because it's really helpful. It helps us to move towards him if we can situate ourselves. And so we've called this the spiritual continuum of our lives. And it should be coming up on the screen now. But the first thing we know in every congregation, in every service, we have those who've arrived and who are actually exploring Christ. They're trying to figure out, yes, I believe in God, but I'm not 100% sure about this Jesus thing. And so I'm here and I'm exploring, and that's great. And we want to say welcome to church because you're in the best place possible, because that's where you get to explore your faith in its entirety and find out more about Jesus. But then there comes a day in everybody's journey, and I'm trusting that that's going to be a day for some of you today, where you actually choose to cross the line of faith, where you say, hey, I choose to follow Christ. And today's the day you might make that decision and say, I'm going to choose to follow Christ for myself. And you actually, and that's the orange line, you cross the line of faith and you make a decision to follow Christ. And then we start to grow in Christ. That's the next portion of our spiritual continuum. And where you say, I believe in Jesus, and I'm working out what it means to know him, because I'm still growing and I'm still figuring out what it means to know him. And then you move into like a next section, which is somebody who might believe that they are close to Christ, where you depend on Christ daily. Christ's not just an add-on to your life, but he is somebody you depend on daily to give you guidance in your everyday life. You depend on him. You say you go to him for your needs and for your heart's desires and just to have a friendship with him, and you depend on him daily. And then you move to the next place, which, and I don't believe any journey, it doesn't just go forward and in one direction. You know, we go back a little bit one day and we go forward a little another day. You know, you're moving forward and you're moving back on the spiritual continuum. It's never just linear. And the next segment is Christ-centered, where my relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship. It's the most important friendship in my whole life. And it doesn't guide some of my life. It guides all of my life. I make my decisions by first going to Christ and asking his opinion of it and then making a decision. And so he guides everything I do. And so before we start anywhere, each and every one of us, we need to plot ourselves. Where are you on your spiritual continuum? Where do you find yourself? Because once you find yourself, only then can we keep moving towards Jesus. Only then can we do that. And so it's important that we situate ourselves. And it doesn't matter where you are this morning, as long as your intention is to keep moving. As long as your intention is to say, I am going to keep moving towards Jesus. And so we need to first plot ourselves, because once we've done that, we can say, okay, I'm here. And then we intentionally, each and every one of us, decide, now I need to move on from here. Because if we stagnate, we actually start to regress in our spirituality. Everybody's moving forward and we're stagnating and, you know, getting a little infected with, you know, mosquitoes and frogs and, you know, all those things when there's a stagnant pool and no living water. And so we situate ourselves, and each one of us have to have an individual responsibility. We can provide an environment as a church. We can provide an environment in life groups, but individually, each of us need to decide and take responsibility for our own spiritual growth. And so once each of us have plotted ourselves and decided where we are on the spiritual continuum, only then can we grow. And so as a pastoral team, as an eldership, we have prayed long and hard about, well, how is it that each and every one of us can continue to move towards Jesus? And we believe that there are three distinct areas, and they also, they interplay. They don't work individually, they interplay. And the first area that we believe that is the most fundamental, it starts with this area. The first part of the process is that each and every one of us need to decide to be with Jesus. If we want to keep moving towards Jesus, we need to firstly be with Jesus. And these guys are putting an awesome puzzle together. You might need to just bring it forward so the guys over there can see a little bit. There we go. Cool. And so the first thing we need to decide is to be with Jesus. And that's my devotional life. So the question I have for each one of us this morning is, how is your being with Jesus? Because out of your being with Jesus, everything else flows. Out of my being with him, I get to continually move towards him. And so it's important that we assess how our being with him is. You know, I read this week in my devotional time that when Jesus was baptized, heaven opened, and God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And I was like, I'm always gobsmacked by that. I kept thinking to myself, well, he hasn't done anything yet, right? Jesus hasn't walked on water yet. He hasn't healed the blind man yet. He hasn't raised people from the dead. He hasn't cast demons out of people. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't multiplied the bread and the loaves. And God says to him, "I am well pleased." And then it dawned on me that it's because he had a friendship with God. He knew his character. And so God could be well pleased with who he was as a person before he did a single thing in his life. And so too is it true of us, that if we spend time with God, he will be well pleased with us, because it's the foundation of our whole spiritual journey with him. And so we need to be with him privately. And quickly, that means it's our daily time of reading God's word. And when we're reading God's word, we're not just reading God's word, we're waiting and hearing from God to speak to us. And when a scripture speaks to us, in that moment, we just stop and we say, oh God, this is so amazing. It means something so significant to me. And we work that scripture into a prayer in our lives and we let Christ form us. Eugene Peterson calls this scripture prayer, one word, scripture prayer. He doesn't separate the words because I'm reading the scripture. As I'm reading the scripture, the Holy Spirit is bringing things to life in my life, and then I pray around them and say, oh God, you've spoken to me about my tongue, and I realized this week my tongue hasn't been great, and we're speaking to God about our prayer, about what the word is speaking to us. It's called scripture prayer. And so it's privately, we need to move towards Jesus daily by reading our Bible, meditating on his word, through prayer, also through some solitude. You know, the fast has been the most incredible thing, just going off social media, switching off the TV, because God speaks to us in that place. But secondly, we get to be with Jesus corporately. And scripture is so clear that we should never abandon gathering together. Don't say, oh, well, there's something more important than being in church. There's nothing more important than being in church. Because when we get to be with other believers, our faith is built up. And this past Wednesday at both of the campuses, God did something special because we chose to position ourselves. I cannot explain to you what happened in Prayer Connect. Only when you're in Prayer Connect and I'm with other believers and we're worshiping God and the Spirit of God comes and it touches us, do you understand the power of corporate gathering? And the same is true for our life groups. We should not abandon meeting together, and there are life groups on each and every one of cards on each and every one of your chairs, and life groups start up this coming Wednesday. And it's in corporate community that we work out our faith. It's in community where we say, I'm feeling weaker today. Could you pray for me? It's in community that we say, I don't understand this scripture. Could somebody give me some depth into it or insight into it? And we work out our salvation in community. And so I encourage you, let's be with Jesus this year. Let's be with him privately, but let's be with him corporately as well. Let's not forsake. Let's not abandon the gathering together. And let's not be sporadic about it either. Oh, well, you know, it's in my diary and pencil. And then I'm going to rub it out this week because something else came up. You know, like a kid's party came up and we put that in there. There are four different services across our two campuses. There is no excuse to not be in church on a Sunday because it will still fit around sports. It will still fit around kids' birthday parties. But it's the intentionality of the decision to place a church and the gathering together corporately in your diaries in ink. And I encourage the same for your kids. You know, we see our kids' church attendance, it's sporadic, and 1 week we have 70 kids, and 1 week we have 30 kids, and 1 week we have 40 kids. But if we want to position our kids to move towards Jesus, then they need to be found in God's house, week in and week out, and we need to give them an environment where they can be learning about Jesus, so that when they walk into school, they have the kids' church songs and the kids' church teachings in their minds. The second part of our process is we want to be with Jesus, but secondly, we want to become like Jesus. And we understand it's a journey. We understand, but the more we be with Jesus, the more we become like Jesus. And it's a formational work that takes place in our characters. It's a formational thing that Christ does within us. This becoming like Jesus, it's a formation. And it's a small change. It's small changes in our lives continually. But as we grow, we will form into Christ's likeness. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, but we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works with in us, we become more and more like him. And so slowly, we start to reflect Christ. Our lives become filled more with the fruit of the Spirit. More love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more gentleness, more self-control. My character starts to look more like Christ. I look more like, less like my old self and more like Jesus. And the things that used to infuriate me and set me off into a blind rage, they no longer do. And those little white lies that I used to tell so easily, I can no longer, because the Holy Spirit is talking to me and talking to me about my integrity and talking to me about my character. Those few little swear words that used to pop out every now and then, I no longer can swear because I realize that the same mouth praises Jesus. The same mouth gives glory to God. And when I see people who might be vulnerable, I have way more compassion. When I see the poor or the hurting, I have the heart like Jesus has towards them, because I realize that he loves everyone the same. He is no respecter of persons. And so my character starts to form. And finally, the final step in our process, and it isn't really a step, it's an interplay, is that I start to do what Jesus did. And this becomes a missional work in us. You know, that as we spend more time with Jesus and as we become more like him, we can't help but do what Jesus did. And so Christ starts a missional work through us. And as followers of Christ, out of my being with him and out of my becoming like him, I can't help but do. Because the Spirit starts to change something in me. And that's why week in and week out, you see amazing volunteers serving here at Thrive Church. They're serving in our creative and production teams. They're serving in our iKids team, in our Kids Church team, in our iServe team, because they realize that after I've been with him, after I become like him, I just can't help but do what Jesus would do. And what Jesus does is serve, and so I serve as a result. That's why we have amazing volunteers who volunteer at our Shine Literacy Program on Tuesdays and Thursday. Is it Tuesday? No, Mondays and Thursday mornings, where they help grade two learners to read. It's the most incredible thing, but it's because they can't help but do what Jesus would do. It's a missional work. There's the tutoring and mentoring program that takes place on a Saturday. And that's why volunteers put up their hand to do these incredible things, because Jesus, they've been with Jesus, they're becoming like Jesus, and they can't help but do what Jesus did. There's the Serve the City teams. There's the missions work that takes place in Mozambique and Zimbabwe, where we're training pastors there. There's the women's meetings where women's bring sanitary pads for underprivileged girls at our women's meetings. And now we've got a new initiative this year where as we buy tickets, we're going to be buying Nutri-Day packs to hand out to the poor on the streets as we drive through the neighborhood, because we cannot help to do but do what Jesus would do when he starts to do a work within us. It's the constant interplay between the more I be, the more I become, the more I can't help but do, because it flows from who I am. But it starts with me being. And so, this year, as you and I be with Jesus, as we become like Jesus, and as we do what Jesus did, we will be on a journey towards becoming fully devoted, which is our theme for 2020.
Awesome. Good morning. So good to be together this morning. Fully devoted. You know, to be devoted to something, it means being focused on that particular thing almost exclusively. When you're devoted to a cause, you work to achieve its goals, don't you? When you're devoted to a person, you place their needs above your own. You know, church, when people decide to start becoming devoted to something, when people decide to start a journey towards becoming devoted to something, incredible things happen. The world changes. Madiba. He was devoted to a non-racial South Africa. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, devoted to making the computer personal. Now we can't live without them. Greta Thunberg, devoted to seeing the world take some action on climate change. Amazing that we need a 15-year-old girl to tell world leaders to catch a wake-up. Malala Yousafzai, devoted to education for oppressed women across the world. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, the older Martin Luther, the dude from the 1500s, devoted to the authority of Scripture in our lives. Elon Musk, devoted to the future. Mother Teresa, devoted to the poorest of the poor. The world changes when people start becoming devoted. But you don't need to be Madiba or Malala Yousafzai or Mother Teresa to change the world. You don't need to be a celebrity, and you don't need to be rich or famous. You just need to be fully devoted to something. You see, fully devoted people change the world by changing their world. Let me say that again. Fully devoted people, we change the world by changing our world. A few months ago, I told you the story a little while ago. I had the privilege of attending the memorial service for an incredible lady. Her name is Miss Hopkins. Miss Hopkins was the deputy principal at Boksburg High. Miss Hopkins served as an educator at Boksburg High for 35 years. Miss Hopkins was so devoted to her calling of teaching that when a USPGA tour ticket came up to play golf in the United States, she turned it down because she was devoted to her people. She was devoted to Boksburg, like every good person should be. Boksburg, Brakpan, Edenvale, Meadowbrook, and even, God forbid, Bedford View. Amen. She was devoted to her cause. She was devoted to her kids. She was devoted to educating. A few months ago, she died tragically in a cycling accident. One Saturday morning, taken out. Her devotion lives on in the lives of the kids that she impacted over 35 years. You see, church, devoted people change the world by changing their world. As we be with Jesus, as we become like Jesus, as we do what he did, we become more fully devoted to him. And as we do so, we change the world by changing our world. We see this in Scripture too. Acts chapter 2. Tells us about the early church, tells us about when the church was being formed, tells us about how people in the early church began to devote themselves to this new thing that God was doing. Acts 2, 42 to 45. Says, all the believers, what did they do? Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, in other words, to life groups, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, in other words, communion. And to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer, prayer connect. They devoted themselves to life groups. They devoted themselves to being in church for communion. They devoted themselves to the teaching of God's word. Listen to what happens when that happens. It says a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And the Lord added to their number or their fellowship those who are being saved. I want you to notice how their world changed when they devoted themselves. The first thing that happened is they devoted themselves to something. You know, our culture teaches us to, and in fact, stay away from devotion. Our culture teaches us to keep a loose hand on things. Our culture teaches us not to attach ourselves too deeply to anything. You know what? Facebook and social media, what it does is it creates the illusion in our mind that loose associations and loose attachments can get you by in life. But has any of you have ever known if you're moving house and you need somebody to help you move house, how many of you know that none of your Facebook friends that you know loosely or by loose association, then none of them are coming to pack your boxes? Can I get some amens? It's only the friends who are devoted. Are you with me this morning? The early church changed their world, and they changed the world simply by changing their world. And it all began with their devotion. It was all because of their devotion. I want to ask four incredible people to come up and join me really quickly on the stage. We're going to talk to Jackie, we're going to talk to Vanya, Leslie, and Manny. Come on up, guys, and grab your mics. These are four devoted people. They're all devoted to different things, and you're about to hear why they're devoted to it, how they're devoted to it, and I think their journeys will encourage you. Jax, come on up. They'll get your microphone, don't worry about it. Jack, she doesn't. She's a teacher. She wants to always be the boss. Let's give it up for Jackie, Vanya, Les, and Manny. Give them a warm welcome. This young lady, and she is still young, is a teacher, an educator. How long have you been teaching, Jax?
Well, I'm not very good at maths, but I think I worked it out to 14 years.
So not a maths teacher then,
no.
Right? 14 years.
Yes.
Why do you do what you do? Why do you teach?
Okay, well, I'm stealing your sermon a little bit, Pastor B. I'm sorry.
Cool.
But I teach because I essentially have a front row in the most transformative time in a child's life. Okay.
Sure.
And there's an educationalist that says... education doesn't change the world. Education changes people, and people change the world.
Awesome.
So,
awesome.
That's what it comes down to me. And can I continue? Two short stories. The first one was a child who walked into my class when he was in grade 8. Sorry.
No.
Okay. He walked into my class when I was in grade 8, and his mother said to me, "I know he's not an academic child. Just get him as far as you can. And if we withdraw him at the end of grade 9 or grade 10, it's cool. Just, you know, get as far as we can and we'll take him to a tech." And he left my matric class with a B in English.
Wow.
And university exemption. And then there was another child who walked into my class, and she was one of these straight-A students. I think she walked off with 9 distinctions at the end of her matric year. But she wrote me a note at the end of her matric year, and she said to me, "The greatest lesson I taught her wasn't that, like, amazing Hamlet lesson or whatever. It was, we had had a side bar lesson the one day, you know how things go.
Yeah.
And we started talking about the power of observational love and the fact that you love people through noticing them." And that's what she took away. I mean, she had her 90% in English, and none of that mattered. And I think that's why I teach, because it's those moments. It's not just the academics, that's great, but you actually see people change.
Yeah, and for you, like, I think...
Sorry.
You can see the emotion in her, because this is more than a job. Hey, this is a calling. Why do you think devotion and calling are linked?
Okay.
Why are they why are they twins?
Okay. So I thought about this a lot. And I thought about Joseph, and I thought about Jonah. And, you know, Joseph knew what his calling was from the start. He loved it. He embraced it. Yeah, he made some mistakes at the end. But he knew what he wanted, and he worked towards it. And I sometimes think education isn't always like that. It's a bit more of a Jonah, where you sort of end up being spewed out by a big fish in a situation, and you actually learn to love it. Because, like, I know if you're called, you will be devoted, but I sometimes think that your devotion creates a calling.
Very
and it
good.
Comes
Come
down
on.
To that
Very
idea.
Good. That's great.
You
that's
know,
great.
God gives you the desires of your heart,
Very
and
good.
I think that's where, yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's thank you, Jax. Thank you. Can tell how much it means to you. Vanya's devoted to a few different things, but I wanted to focus today actually just on her motherhood. She's a full-time mom of two beautiful kids. What is it that fires you up about being a mom?
So I absolutely love children. So the fact that I'm living this through this phase of my motherhood is amazing. You know, yeah. They're children, so I'm loving this stage of their lives. It is draining at times, I'm sure the moms will agree, but it's also just so fulfilling to see them reach their milestones,
yeah.
You know, to just watch them grow and to just see, like, the world through their eyes.
Yeah.
So I really am loving that right now about motherhood.
Yeah. And in those moments that you mentioned are difficult,
yeah,
you know those moments when you want to change career?
Yes, I can't.
or maybe like out, you know, like companies outsource functions. You know, there's times when you want to outsource
yes,
your
I
kids.
Yes, I know those moments.
what is it? What is it that keeps you devoted in those moments?
Okay, so my lifeline, my children have heard it many times at home, is definitely Philippians 4:13. I think they know it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So definitely through prayer and meditating in God's word, you got to really hang on to those. To those life verses that get you going. But for me personally, it has really been just remembering the tears and the prayers that I poured to God to have these kids. You know, I think you need to actually just go back to that journey that you had to walk on to just reappreciate what you have now.
That's right.
And it's really those moments that get you going to the tough times. You have to reflect and then reappreciate.
Yeah.
So,
Come back to the essence of what you're
yes,
trying to do.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So that's been that for me.
Vanya, like for you in those moments when you call yourself back to devotion, what does devotion mean for you?
So as a mother, I think it really means just commitment and dedication that is driven by love. Love is
Very
the thing
good.
That keeps you going through, through that devoted motherhood. And Sam, thank you.
Yeah.
So as I was saying, so it's really through that. It often means putting their needs above your own at any time of the day and being okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a constant approach to just being a mom that really makes you realize that the love is there.
Yeah.
And regardless of the hard times or the good times, love remains that constant drive.
Yeah. Devotion driven
by
love.
Yes,
very
so
good.
It
Thank
is
you,
that
Vanya.
Is the end. That's
Thank
cool.
you. Thank you. That's awesome.
Can I also just add something? I really feel
you
like
can.
People need to hear this.
Yeah.
So I also just wanted to add to the fact that being a mother has also just reminded me and broadened the love that God has for us as children.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand that without being a mother myself.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know that verse that says His mercy is on you every morning?
Yeah.
That verse, can you just imagine how more merciful God is to us if we are so merciful to our children every
for
morning?
Sure.
So really that those two things are reminded every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Vanya. Thank you. That's awesome. Turning to the gents on my left, you're right. This is Leslie. Leslie is devoted to, again, many different things, but one of the things that he's so passionate about is literacy, and he's a literacy volunteer at our at Shine's literacy program that happens on Mondays and Thursdays. And Les devotes himself to the teaching of grade twos, to teach them to read and write. Why are you so devoted to this thing?
Thanks, Pastor Byron. I think firstly, when you speak about literacy, I think it's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Living in SA today, living in South Africa, literacy is becoming or is one of the biggest challenges right now facing our education system. And I'm sure you read about it. And there's some phenomenal stats out there where our kids are not being taught to read and write. So there's a large number of them.
Yeah.
Over the past year, as Pastor Byron has mentioned, I had the opportunity of actually being a volunteer within the Shine Literacy Program, where we teach grade twos to read and write, specifically in terms of reading. And I think it's been a phenomenal privilege for myself, having to sit in front of these children and be able to teach them and read with them. And I think there's a lot of parents here today. You will actually know by you sitting with them encourages them and motivates them to read. And unfortunately, a lot of our kids that we interact with on a daily basis, especially on a Monday and Thursday, don't have that privilege where parents sit with them and actually read to them.
That's right.
So we have given them a bit of hope when we sit with them and just read to them. And the thing that's why I'm so devoted to this over the last year, even going forward into this year, is when you see these kids sitting in front of you, and when you take that textbook or that material or that book and you bring it before them and you ask them, do you want to take that book home today? Their faces just light up, and they just want to grab onto that. And that, for me, really inspires me and sort of become more devoted in actually seeing that on their faces.
Yeah. And like devotion and passion are peas in a pod, aren't they? Devotion and passion are like twins. How do you keep your passion for that up, Les?
Very difficult questions, Pastor Byron. I think, devotion and passion. I think personally, there's many ways, but due to time as well, I think just two things that comes to mind.
Yeah.
I want to sort of, the way I keep myself is keeping myself being influenced and being surrounded by people of passion. Now, just to speak about it, firstly, with no random order, my beautiful wife sitting right in front of me. When we sat, when we started dating and so forth, I mean, there was a time that I said, I need to be fully devoted, and pardon, it's not cliche, but really, this, I became fully devoted to her, and in terms of our journey that we were embarking on, in terms of eventually becoming husband and wife. And I'm proud if I stand here today to say that this year we'll be 27 years married together, and I will always be devoted to you. And I think that passion as well in her, because she's always taught me a lot of stuff, and she's also a person of influence. And when she tells me, if you want to do something, you put your whole heart into it, put your whole mind to it, and you give you everything, right, or else, forget it, don't do it. You're fooling yourself, and you're fooling others. So having people, firstly, as I said, being people of influence and being surrounded with people of influence. The other person, and there's a phenomenal couple that we met about 2 years ago, that besides this being our spiritual leaders, they became friends to us. And there's no other than Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace. They've been phenomenal. These people are contagious. When they came into then called Renowned Church, we could actually see the passion they had in terms of fully devoted to being leading people towards Jesus. And they haven't paid me to say anything of the sort. Please mind that. And seriously.
But did Monica pay you?
She definitely. Okay. to stay with her. No, but on a serious note, and I'm sure a lot of you sitting here this morning will pay testament to that, because else I'm sure we would have slowly moved away somewhere else. Yeah. But we definitely want to say to Pastor Byron and Pastor Candace, and even see this morning, even as we've launched this into the new year, being fully devoted, we've been encouraged this morning that we need to become totally devoted to Christ as we follow Him.
Amen. Great, Les. Thank you. Thank you. This is Manny. Manny leads Thrive's worship team. How long have you been leading this thing for, dude?
So I worked out, I've been leading for about 12 years now.
12 years now. Isn't that amazing? When Pastor Candace and I first began to get involved with this Edenvale campus and first started leading, somebody whispered in our ear and said that this guy has been on worship for 102 consecutive weeks. Chef, how many was it? Something like that? In other words, this man played every Sunday for 2 years. That's like 104 Sundays consecutively. And that is why he has arms the way he does. But many, so I mean, we're talking to devoted people. You are devoted to this team, yeah. Right? You're also, I mean, you're devoted to a lot. You're devoted to Chef. Chef is married to you. And you're also a businessman and a lawyer. You're devoted to a lot. Question I want to ask you is, how do you keep the balance of being devoted to many different things?
Yeah. I think for me, what was quite a good mind shift was understanding that balance is not necessarily a linear process all the time. Yes. People think that, you know, having everything in order together the whole time as you keep walking
very
straight.
Good,
the best picture of balance that I can think of that best illustrates what I'm trying to get at is a tightrope walker.
Yeah.
So as you walk in, you start shifting to your left and you have to counterbalance it by leaning to the right. So there are times in your life where you do have to put that extra time into your work or into your family or into, if it's not spend too much time there, otherwise you'll lose your balance and everything will come out of kilter. So,
Totally.
I think, understanding that, you know, balancing is a dynamic process.
Yeah.
Which is not just a simple linear thing. And then keep applying that to your life.
And I think, like, what inspires me about your life is how you'll give yourself to something knowing that balance will be required. I think sometimes we, as a pastor, I see so many people who say, well, I could never serve in church because I have a busy career.
Yeah.
Or I'm not sure I could give because my budget is tight. I think what you're saying is so helpful, Manny, is that we give ourselves to devotion to something, trusting that the process will be from the left foot to the right at times.
Yeah.
Trusting that it will be dynamic, not linear. Trusting that actually devotion to what this man's devoted to needs God.
Yeah. Yes.
Like he can't do it himself.
Yeah. Definitely.
They're about to have a second child, so he's about to increase his devotion.
Yeah.
Come on. And I want to encourage you with Manny's life in terms of the specific issue of balance. Don't think you can't be devoted to something because you can't give yourself to it fully all the time. There are moments where we give ourselves fully to this and we take our foot off the gas in another area, and then the next week, are you with me?
Yeah.
It's dynamic. So thank you for that wisdom, Manny. Yeah. I think that's wisdom born out of a life that's had to do that.
Yeah.
We appreciate each and every one of you guys. Let's give them a warm, warm thank you. We love you guys. Thing that I want to say to us, church, and if you're hearing the sound of a hum or a machine outside, it's because we're running for the first Sunday fully on generator power. So isn't that awesome? So, you know, like the spur, they say open during load shedding. Thrive Church will always be open during load shedding. Doesn't matter what Eskom does, we will be rocking and rolling. What I want to say to us is that fully devoted is not a destination, it's a journey. None of us arrive at full devotion this side of heaven. That we arrive at it the other side of heaven. But we can become increasingly more fully devoted as we be with Him, become like Him, and as we be with Him, become like Him, do what He did. We can become increasingly devoted. The starting point of this is very strategic. The starting point is to be with Jesus. If you be with Jesus, if I be with Jesus, I will become like Him, I will do what He did. I can try and do what He did without being with Him, and I'll fizzle out in a very short time. Similarly, I can try and become like Him, but if I've never been with Him, He's not forming my character. It's going to be surface. It's going to be like a veneer. It's going to be like a cheap veneer that you can scratch off. Are you with me? The starting point to becoming fully devoted, the starting point to the journey, the starting point to becoming fully devoted to our lives is to be with Him. Speaks to being devotional. What if there was one tool that we as a church could put in your pocket or your handbag that would be with you all the time, that could help you to be with Jesus personally, and as Pastor Can said, corporately or congregationally? What if there was one tool we could put in your pocket that could help you to be with Jesus as easy and make it as easy and simple as possible? What if there was one tool that made being with Jesus both personally and in church life accessible and helpful? Would you want it? Today on Vision Sunday, we launched the Thrive Church app. I'm going to show it to you today. The app is simply Thrive in your pocket. That's what it is. And it brings your personal and church life together. It brings your being with Jesus personally, and it brings your being with Jesus in this place together. And this morning, I want to take a few minutes to show it to you. Are you keen?
Yeah.
Cool. So let's have a look at it. So starting point of the app is that it's available both in the Play Store and it's available in the iStore. So no matter whether you're on Apple or Android, just search for Thrive Church. It'll come on up in no matter what platform you use. That's what it looks like, the top one. Once you install it, then you can open it. The first thing you want to do when you open it is click on the More button, right, bottom right-hand side. And as you click on More, it's going to take you to Campus Selector. Choose Campus Selector and choose Edenvale Campus if you want your default setting for the app to be the Edenvale Campus. That'll mean that everything is tailored and specifically put there for Edenvale. If you want Boksburg, if you're from our Boksburg campus here today, you might want to choose the Boksburg campus. All right, then what we're going to do is we're going to go to the home page. The homepage gives you the next event, straight up, Vision Sunday. It also gives you the latest podcasts and it gives you church news. Next, you can go to the events page. That's the events page. There's a little tab called events. Next, you can go to podcasts. Give you all the podcasts, all of the sermons from the last few weeks. Next, you can click on the life group tabs at the top right. Gives you all the life groups. Click on one of them, tell you everything you need to know about that group. There's also a life group finder where you click top right. You can say which age group you want and whether you have kids or not. Click apply and it'll tell you which of those life groups would apply and be helpful for you. Awesome. There's also a pastoral angle to the app. You can click on prayer requests and you can submit a prayer request online to our team and we'll get, devotionals first. You click on the devotional page, just start that one again if you don't mind, guys. Click on the devotional and it'll take you to a whole range of material that we have put there to help you be with Jesus personally. There are loads and loads of reading plans, devotional plans for kids, youth, and adults. If you're looking for a Bible reading plan, just click on the devotional tab. Anything that I put up that I might want to give to you as a devotional will be on that tab as well. Awesome. Then there's a pastoral angle as well. You can submit a prayer request on the app simply by going to prayer request. Or you could, and that'll get find its way to our team. Or you can submit a praise report online. Just click on praise report. And you submit that, give us your details, and we will thank God for it. You're also able to give online on the app. If that's more convenient for you, you're able to give and be generous online. There's an online giving tab that'll help you there. Next is you can see church news. So if you go to the More tab, you click on church news, it'll give you all of the news and the videos, the testimony videos that we've been playing in church over the last few weeks. Next, you can go to the profile tab. The profile tab will, if you're a life group leader, you can go in there and edit and update your life group via anatomy. You sign in, you will have a PIN and a password. If you're a life group leader, you'll be able to edit all of the details of your people on that page. Helpful, useful, convenient. If you go to settings on the app, you can select your campus again. So you select Edenvale, for example, and that will then, you go to manage campus, manage notifications, select Edenvale. It'll make sure that every notification that pops up on your app is specific for the Edenvale campus. So all the events that you'll get to hear about, all that sort of stuff, it will be Edenvale specific, and you can turn on the notifications for the campus that you specifically want. Thrive Church app is very simply Thrive Church in your pocket so that you can be with Jesus personally and corporately, so that you can relive Sunday's message easily via the app. You can submit a prayer request, a praise report. You can take your church experience on Sunday, take it into your week by using devotionals, prayer requests, praise reports, and connect into life groups. You're able to do anything you want on the app. It's going to be quite incredible. It is launched already. It's ready and available right this moment. After church, you could get it. And we pray that it blesses you and that as you thrive in your pocket, you will thrive this year. Amen. As we be with Jesus, we become like him, as Pastor Ken said. As we be with Jesus, we become like him. And as we become like him, we do what he did. You change the world, not by being a celebrity. You change the world not by being rich, not by being famous. You change the world not by acquiring some unique and crazy skill set. You don't have to be Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. You change the world simply by changing your world. You change the world simply by being fully devoted. How do we become more fully devoted? How does the journey of becoming more fully devoted happen in our lives? It happens as we be with Jesus. So we be with him, we become like him. As we become like him, we do what he did. Thrive Church app will help you to be with Jesus this year. As you be with him, you'll become like him. You'll do what he did. You'll change your world. You'll change the world simply by changing your world. Shall we pray together? Let's take a moment. Jesus, we love your name and we love your character. We love who you are. We want our lives to move towards Christ-likeness. We want our lives to be fully devoted to you. We realize it's a journey. We realize it's a space that we...
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.